I don't see how, really, intelligent people, now these are good people that believe what I'm telling you here now, but we're going to read it slow and see what the book says about it. There's a lot of our denominational churches that do not believe like we do. They do not believe that God heals today. And that Brother Holy Hubert back there tried to contact you, but I figured, well, we'd see you sometime or other. Glad to have you here with us in the Bible class. But I want you to listen to this, because you are approached sometime by people, and if you don't know the scripture, know the truth, you can't, they may put a verse of scripture and take it out of its setting and shoot it to you and say, what about this? Does the Bible say it? Sure, it says it. Well, that settles it, or it don't settle it at all. Let's let about 100 more scriptures say something. Then rightly divide a scripture, no, rightly divide the word of truth. You see. Now, there's a lot of churches, I don't have to call names, but I would say practically the whole bunch of churches that are not full gospel or Pentecost, are that have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost like they received it on the day of Pentecost, and the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church, believing in divine healing, believing in new birth, baptism and all. There's a lot of them that do not believe in that at all, you see, and they'll tell you straight out, no, we don't get that experience, we don't receive the Holy Ghost, we don't have spiritual gifts in operation, we do not believe in divine healing, that you can lay hands on people, miracles be performed, they believe the days of miracles are past. That is some of them. But some of the denominational churches will believe there's miracles, but it's just now and then when God decides to do it. But you can't come to God and pray like you should. Now, I think, if I'm not right, if I'm not wrong, I think that practically all of them use this one scripture that we are going to refer to. And I don't know how in the world anybody would ever decide to use that to prove the fact that God has changed the doctrine of the apostles. Because the doctrine of the apostles, it says in the earlier, in Acts, the first chapter, no, second chapter, the Lord, about the latter part of the second chapter of Acts, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Am I right? Then did Jude say, when I wrote to you, it was needful for me to exhort you to earnestly contend for that faith that was once delivered to saints. Now, if they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, then we are made to believe that the doctrine that the apostles had was the doctrine that Jesus Christ had taught them. It's the same doctrine that Paul the apostle preached and taught when he was here. But the churches today have gone completely away from all of that. They have just a new makeshift, new doctrine of their own. Now, what scripture do they use to say that we're not preaching the same in our subject today, where it says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with, because it says tongues will cease. And they said that tongues have ceased. That's what they say. That's what all the boys that are graduated at the seminaries, that's what they say. Tongues have ceased. But let's see what the book said here. Now they say, I'm going to tell you what I say and what they say. They say when that which is perfect is come is when the Word of God, that's the Word of God, when it becomes perfect. I didn't really know that there ever was a time when God's Word wasn't perfect. Don't you know they'd be embarrassed to go up? You see, they say that it become perfect when the last disciple died, that the Word of God became perfect. I don't know why, when that disciple got sick, laid down, go up to heaven and say, God, is your word perfect? No, I'm waiting for that sick disciple to die, and then my word's going to be perfect. Well, now what happens when the man dies? Then all the doctrine and all the doctrine of the apostles and all the things that I've written, they're not for you. You can't go by none of it. That's what they tell you straight out. That's what all of them tell you. That when they die, then that which is in part is done away with. That means that you don't have gifts in the church. You don't pray for the sick. You don't have miracles. You don't receive the Holy Ghost. You don't speak in tongues. Because when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. But what is in part? I prophesy in part. And then when that which is perfect from it, you won't prophesy no more in part. Now it said, then tongues shall cease, and the knowledge will vanish away. There'd be nobody with knowledge. That's supposed to have happened way back there when the last disciple died. Boy, we've done pretty good without the knowledge, haven't we? Come all this way without the knowledge. Same book said, same time, when tongues cease, knowledge vanishes away. Sounds, it looks like it's full of holes, like a sieve. But we're going to read, you know what, when that which is perfect, Now, a lot of folk have said, now that's talking about Jesus. Jesus never was referred to as that. It would have said when he, Jesus Christ, becomes, when Christ comes, or when Christ comes, who is the perfect one? It would refer to him as a person, he, not it. It said, when that which is perfect is come. Now this Bible that my teaching here, it's very clear there what he's talking about when he's calling that which is perfect. He's making it very clear what he's talking about. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Now, and it certainly has nothing to do with the Word of God. When that which is perfect, there never was a time in the history of time when God said, my word's not perfect. His word has always been perfect at every hour, at every time. And there's no fault in it. Let every man be a liar, but let God's word be true. It's pure. Now, I want us to start reading because the latter part of the 13th chapter of Corinthians is where we read. And let's see what he's talking about here. Now, remember that he has been talking about gifts. He's been talking about, though I have the it started off here, if I have all faith that I could move mountains, and if I prophesy, and if I understand all mysteries, and if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity. So he's dealing with the importance of charity. Now let's start reading at the 6th verse. That's where we left off. And we're going to come to this part and break it down, and I want everyone to follow me closely. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. That's charity. Now, it means don't make a big display and a gloat over iniquity. Somebody, if they can only get a little gossip, boy, they're just right down their heyday. Rejoice in the truth, it said. It said, charity beareth all things, and believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whether they, now listen, charity never fails, but now whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now notice, and whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. But let's keep in mind, Paul is writing here, when will they cease? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, is there any time elapsed here? Does Paul here tell that one is going to be done away with, tongues going to be done away with back there when the last disciple dies, and then way on down the line, when all the people are in hell, and then the others are glorified, that knowledge will vanish away, earthly knowledge that's in part will vanish away, then we will have supernatural minds, we'll know even as we know one another. When is knowledge going to vanish away? It says, tongue shall cease and knowledge shall vanish away. He doesn't say tongues will cease when the last disciple dies. In fact, the Bible says nothing about any disciple having to die, or any disciple has anything to do, whether God's word is perfect or true, and it has nothing to do with the gospel or with speaking in tongues or gifts of the church. Why? Because the gospel is to be preached to the end of the world, not watered down, and don't take from it or add to it. He said, this gospel I give you shall be preached to the end of the world, and the ones that believe it, these signs will follow, and they'll speak with new tongues. And when you preach it, no matter where or when you preach it, you must preach that when they believe it, they will speak with new tongues. They'll cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That is the core or the essence of the fruits of preaching the gospel of Christ, and it is supposed to be preached according to Matthew 24:19 by the mouth of Jesus until the end comes, and then shall the end come. So we're letting God's word say. Now they say that tongues will cease. Right here it says at the same time that knowledge will vanish away. But now we're going to find out when this is going to be. All right. Knowledge shall vanish away, for we know in part. What does that have to do with the one above it? It has everything to do. For we, who talks in tongues? I do. Who has knowledge and who prophesies? Individual people do, God's children. All right. Now, we prophesy in part, and it says that we tongues, it says, charity never fails. Whether it be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether it be tongues, they'll cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, that is all at the same time. Knowledge in part, for we know in part, said it, and we prophesy in part. For the ninth verse, for we know in part, our knowledge is in part, and we prophesy in part. Now notice, but when that which is perfect is come, then, when that which is perfect comes, then. Now, it's right then, you see, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, we're going to find out when that which is perfect is come. Who is that? When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Knowledge that we know in part, it'll be done away with. Prophesying will be done away with. And tongues will cease. When that which is perfect is come, let's go on down and see when it's going to happen. When I was a child, I speak as a child. When I was a child, I'd say, Mom, Mom, Dad, Dad. And I'd squall and point at something. I acted like a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child and understood as a child. That's talking about, and I thought as a child. Now he's bringing and explaining what he's just been talking about. We, when we were just coming up, our thoughts were like a child. Our conversation was like a child. But now notice here. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I'm no longer a child. I am now what we call matured. I am matured. It's talking about the human body. All the way through, it's talking about the human body. Nothing else. Never even mentions nothing else, has no reference to anything else. It's strictly talking about the human body. Now, then I grew from a child when I was limited in knowledge, limited in understanding, limited in ability. Now I become a man. I am capable in knowledge, in understanding, in ability. Why? I have reached the achievement. I am not going to get bigger and like some giant. I have become matured. I have been finished out. I am a full-fledged man. I am now mature. You see. Then what do? I put away childish things. Now, let's go to the next verse here and see what he says. I put away childish things. For now, Paul says, for now, at my present time, we see through a glass darkly. Paul said, in my day, all the church and everybody else, we see through a glass darkly. But then, when that which is perfect is come, but then, face to face, now at the present time, I know in part now, but then shall I know, even as I am also now known. Now, what is he saying? Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also now known. Let me ask you a question. Then, when that which is perfect is come, then shall I know even as I'm also now known. I didn't put it in there. God put it in there. Paul put it in there. When am I going to know, even as I'm also known? When I have taken my body, my childish body that I know in part, and I prophesy in part, and I look through a glass darkly. But one day the glass darkly will be put away, and I will know even as I am also now known, and I'll never speak another word in tongues, and I'll never prophesy no more. Why? Because all the things that are done in part will be done away with. When I get my glorified body. Now, he's using it all the way through, explaining. When I was a child, I was limited. I looked through a glass darkly. I prophesied in part. I did this in part, and other things were in part. But when I become a man, see, he used that illustration. When you become a matured man, you put away childish things. So when we reach the place that we get our glorified body, when are we going to get it? We'll see him face to face. Who's the face? Jesus. When am I going to get my glorified body? When I see Jesus. Huh? Now, when we see him, then that which is in part will be done away. Will I talk in tongues anymore? No. Will you? Never. But when will you stop talking in tongues? When you see him face to face. Because then shall they know, even as they're now also now known. Now, what does it mean? I'll say, God, you know where I live? He said, yeah. You know how old I am? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know my wife? Yeah. You know what I had for breakfast? Yes. Do you know what I did 10 years ago? Yep. You know where I worked 10 years ago? Yep. Do you know where I'm going to work tomorrow? I know that. So you know all about me, God. Yeah. Then shall we know, even as we are also now known. When I get my glorified body and I go up to heaven, I won't have to go up and say, now, who are you? Oh, I'm St. Peter. Oh, yes, St. Peter, I've heard of you. I won't have to go up there and say that. Walk up to him and say, hello, Peter. Why? Because I'll know, my knowledge will not be in what? It'll not be in part. So we'll not have knowledge in part. Knowledge in part will be done away with. Talking in tongues is not necessary. Never. But when does it all happen? When we see him face to face, then shall we know. Now, if their version would be true, what would have happened back there when the last apostle died? Every one of the saints of God on earth would know, even as they're also now known, unless they take that Bible and say it's a lie, tear it out, and don't ever read it, because that's what it said. Then shall they know when. It's when that which is perfect is come. Then. Now, when is that which is, has that which is perfect come here? No, because I'm still in my earthly body. But one day I'm going to put off my childish body. I'll have my glorified body. That is the matured. That is the completed. Now, I haven't added one thing to it. Let me go right through it and read it right on down through now. It says, our charity never failed, but whether they be prophecies, they'll fail. And whether there be tongues, they'll cease. And whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. Now, can anybody on the face of the earth say that the tongue ceased back there several 1900 years ago, but knowledge hasn't done away with yet? My Bible says at the same time when that which is perfect, it has nothing to do with the Bible. You can't find a scripture in the Bible. I can go down to the bank and get it. I'll give $1,000 to anybody that'll show me a verse of scripture anywhere. And I'm saying it's going out on the air, and I'll gladly say it, to bring to me and show me where, when that which is perfect is come, has anything to do with the Bible or anybody dying or any apostle. There's not a verse in the Bible. It was concocted by brained men that didn't have the Holy Ghost and had to explain it, and that was the best excuse they got, and people are gullible enough to read it. Let's believe the Bible and read it. Jesus said you must preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you must receive the Holy Ghost and cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and speak in tongues right up until the end. I didn't say it. Jesus said it himself. Am I right? And you can't find a verse of scripture nowhere that even suggests that anybody is supposed to die, or any scripture anywhere that when it refers to that which is perfect has anything to do with the Word of God. But it'd be a grand insult to the Word of God and to God himself to say that God would have to wait until some aged, decrepit apostle walking around on a walking cane is having to wait until he dies before his word becomes perfect. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? But usually things that so many people believe, they'll usually take a scripture out of its setting and present it. But in this case, they're left without a scripture. There's not one nowhere to even refer to where that would be the case. But the Bible teaches us, and because they have said it, and because people are not wanting to believe in the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues, they're wanting to believe anything anybody says that will get them off of the hook and say, well, we don't have to have it. But my Bible tells me the promise of the Holy Ghost is to you and your children, to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what the book said. And to abide in the apostles' doctrine. And may I just say this? Paul knew that this would happen. I say, Paul knew this would happen. I want you to listen to this closely. He said, after I leave, they're going to come in grievous wolves. It's going to bring in error. And they're going to bring in divisions. Now he said, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible speaks expressly. And the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is warning us now, 1900 years before it happens. Paul the Apostle said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that there will be many departing from the faith. Now, what is the faith? You'll say, oh, that's what we have now, because that other faith has been done away with. But we're still looking for one scripture anywhere that'll tell you that faith is going to be done away with. No place in the Bible found where it's going to be done away with. But the Bible does say that they would depart from the faith. Now, what is the faith? The faith is that which Jesus Christ taught his disciples. It was that which the earlier church earnestly contended for the doctrine, and they abode in the doctrine of the apostles. Now, the doctrine of the apostles was to preach the new birth, being born again, communion, water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to believe in the Trinity. They believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and they believed that the gifts were operating in the church. And if anybody was sick, to preach to them that by the stripes of Jesus they were healed, and that not only the preacher, but the signs would follow the believers. They would lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And he says, that is what you preach when you preach the gospel, and these signs will follow them that believe the gospel, and the gospel shall be preached to the end of the world. Now, I'm going to say this. Paul, knowing that in the end time, false prophets and false Christs would arise. You know what a false prophet is? One that tells you false. Now, does the word say that false prophets will arise, and only a very few will believe them, but because they'll know they're false and so they'll pay attention to them? No, it doesn't say that. But let's read what it does say. It said false prophets, false Christ shall arise, and they will deceive many. Now, the Bible says they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine of devils. You know what a doctrine of a devil is? The devil brings out a doctrine that will damn them, that will cause them to depart from the truth. And when you begin to depart from the truth on one thing, it will separate you from the real gospel truth and the real church, and so many other little things that you should receive in the real church. For instance, if God wanted to bring a message in tongues and interpretation, which he has the right, that as long as the church age is in power, God has sources of communication. He did back under the Old Testament. He spake to them through the Urim and Thummim. They had a way of contacting God. And God could speak to the people and give them instruction. Now the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what, not just the preacher talks, God uses him, but he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead. Now how do we hear what the Holy Ghost says? We hear it by speaking in tongues, that's the gift of the Spirit. Then if they speak in tongues, they interpret it. That is a gift of the Holy Ghost. He puts it in the church. And if we speak in tongues, it should be interpreted. There is a gift of interpretation. Now what happens? God says, I'm going to speak to this church, and I want to give them a message for this morning. It's not for people in Arkansas, and it's not a message for tomorrow. It is a message for today, and it is for this people. So God anoints them when they talk in tongues. Another one gets up and they interpret it. Now, what is that? That's God speaking to the people. But when they believe that back there, the last disciple died and everything folded up and all the miracles quit and the gospel is no longer preached and the results of it, and it's all wound up, how in the world is God going to minister and speak to his people if they believe it's done away with. And they'll preach to them that miracles are done away with. Miracles are for the church today as much as they were for on the day of Pentecost. Not one millionth less. God is willing for miracles to be performed. The gifts of healing is in the church today. The gifts of miracles are in the church today. And God is manifest himself, and we have witnessed miracle after miracle over the face of the earth. Now, let me say this. How many believe that any good, conscientious thinking Christian should believe what Paul the Apostle very clearly, openly declares and says? They should believe it. Why? Because God anointed him as a special apostle to the Gentiles and a writer to the church. And am I true when I say that practically all the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul? There was just Jude, James, John, Peter, and all the rest of the New Testament, all of it, as 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's a whole big gobble of writing there, isn't it? That's by Paul. Book of Romans. Brother, I'm going to tell you, 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Romans, I mean, that's really taking it in. Luke is a writer. He wrote. But now Paul wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. And many believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. So we find that practically all of the doctrine for the church was written by the giant Apostle Paul, that did not get his doctrine from the apostles. He got them, it said, by revelation out in the Arabian desert as he waited upon God. And when he came back, he compared his notes with the apostles, and they lined up perfectly. Peter got off a little bit about his Jewish doctrine, you know. And it said Paul withstood him to his face, for he was to be blamed. And it proves now that Peter was wrong about it and Paul was right. And you know what Paul said? I said, you know what Paul said? He said, brethren, if I come later and bring another doctrine or another gospel, which is not another, if I come later and bring another one, let me be accursed. Just let me be accursed because I have not brought the gospel that I preach now. And if I or an angel from heaven should come down and preach any other gospel than that which I preach right now, let that angel or that person or that preacher be accursed. Paul said, let him be accursed if he doesn't preach what I preach. Now let me ask you, are these denominational churches preaching today what Paul preached? The answer is no. They don't believe no part of it. So why don't they tell the people that Paul got off of the rocker? He did not say the right thing, that it was to wind up and close. Miracles was to wind up. Paul every day preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every day he preached miracles. Every day he prayed for the sick. Every day he cast out devils. He believed in the power of God, and he said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which I preach now, let him be accursed. So how many is willing to take God's word? Aren't you glad you know the truth? Now you say, well, why is it they can't see it? Because the book said they can't. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Many of them, I'm not saying that everybody that belongs to those churches are lost, going to hell. Now get me right. They're not saved and going to heaven if they do make it to heaven. They're not going to heaven because they believe what they do. It's in spite of them believing that. But when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will guide them into all truths. Do you believe there's a reason why we have untold thousands of denominational preachers of every one of those organizations. We have thousands of those preachers that have received the Holy Ghost and come out from that doctrine into full gospel into Pentecost. And I'm asking you, show me a preacher that ever was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and preached under the anointing that ever went out and went back into the dead organism and deny the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't find it, and you'll not find it. If you do, it's because they're eternally cut off, and brother, they're in a plenty bad shape. But you don't find it. They may backslide, but if they're honest and sincere, they'll go back into the dregs of sin, but they'll tell you, brother, it's real, and God knows it's real. I've backslid. I'm away from God, but what I had was real. So we find that we ought to thank God for what God has given us and the light that he has put in our path. Now, that's very important. We've got to be very careful that we don't fall in the same line of other people that believe they're going to heaven and nobody else is going to heaven but them. There's a lot of people that are born again. They do not have the light of the Holy Spirit. They do not have the light of the power of God or the gifts of the Spirit. They've never been preached, but they're abiding in the truth that they have had give to them, and they do have enough gospel that they're born again. They have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those people are new creatures, and they are Christians, and we have no right to condemn them. I'm not to judge any. But I am to stand up till the very last notch and preach that gospel and tell you it's not going to be done away with. That is my job. And when I see people departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, I am to warn you and tell you of the seriousness of sticking to the old-fashioned truth. Now, then you'll say that everybody that's in full gospel or Pentecost, they are the right sect. I'm going to tell you one thing. If I was the devil, glad I'm not. If I was the devil and I wanted to do a real good work, I would do my best to inject into Pentecostal churches wherever I could the biggest fakes in the whole nation. You say that again. I am saying it. Some of the rottenest, stinkinest human beings I've ever seen in my life are people that come in and pose as Pentecost. Now, if they're going to get a counterfeit thing set up and going to start counterfeit money, they never would take some old money that they used back there in the 1720s or 1750s, or take some British currency that was 200 years old and copy it. You know what they'd do? They would copy the kind of money that we use every day to buy groceries. Why? Because that is what they want to do. They want to copy the real, genuine thing. Now, there are some rotten things in Pentecost. We are called interdenomination, but we have, when we say Pentecost, we have the Pentecostal experience. But we have God's church all over the whole country, and how many believe back in the earlier church? Even under the nose of the apostles, there were those that were false coming in, professing themselves to be them. Nicholas was of the devil. He had a doctrine of devils, and Jesus said, I hate his doctrine, but he had got into the earlier church and was filtering his doctrine in the early church. Am I right? Sure. Satan is busy. Now I found things that went on under the guise of Pentecost that I blushed. I've heard statements over the radio and preachers saying things that was as far out left as they could be. And some folk would say, well, I'd be ashamed and just get away from the whole thing. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to move away from the truth. If somebody counterfeits the real, I'm not going to leave the real. I'm going to stand and preach the same thing Paul preached and say that God has a church that is a glorious church. It's clean. It does things decently and in order. It's not radical. It's not far off left. But there's a lot of fellows that's come in and the enemy has used them to bring reproach against the cause of Christ. How many know that statement is true? And because some people see that, they'll say, I don't want to have anything to do with any of it. Wait a minute. Let's take our Bible. Let's take the Word of God and abide by what the Word of God has to say. Now, we'll find there's hundreds and thousands of good, God-fearing pastors in full gospel churches. And I'm not just saying the full gospel, there is many others. There's Church of God, there's Assemblies of God, there's Four Square, and there's the many Baptists that have come into Pentecost and they have received the Holy Ghost and the gifts. If they come all the way, there's a lot of their doctrines, some of their doctrines I do not believe in. And if they come out, the Bible, if they're sincere and honest, the Holy Ghost will guide them into how much truth? Into all truth. So, one thing Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Ghost for, that when he comes in, you may not be in the truth when you receive it, and you may not be in the right doctrine when you receive the Holy Ghost, but when he comes in, he will guide you into all truth. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost, he's not guiding you out of the full gospel faith and the Holy Ghost and the gospel and believing in holiness and believing in divine healing and miracles and all. He'll never do that, never has done it yet. But the Holy Spirit will bring you into the fellowship. The same doctrine the apostles preached back there. Now, I had a precious mother that some preacher had preached to her a doctrine that was unscriptural. She was saved, loved God, but her heart was as pure as an angel. But her mind was mixed up, and she wasn't thinking right at all according to the scripture. So when I got born again, and she prayed me in, when I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, I began to sit down and talk to her. Well, finally, she began to listen to the Word. I said, now, what you're doing is listening to the individual that told you these things. What I'm asking you to do is listen to the Word of God. Take both sides, and we'll let the Word of God explain what these things mean. And one day I came in, and Mother smiled. She said, son, it's all clear now. She came to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm open. I want to know the truth. And she came out. Now, when I first got converted, they preached that if you would eat a piece of bacon or ham, you'd go to hell. Well, believe it or not, I saved and filled with the Holy Ghost there in that church. And when they first told me that, boy, I shunned away from the bacon. But I gobbled it up now. And I can eat ham now, because I found out that Paul said, brethren, don't refuse anything, because it is sanctified by the Word of God. You see, if it's not sanctified, and it would really hurt you, it is sanctified by God's Word and by prayer. The other fellow eat it, it might hurt him. But if you eat it, it won't hurt you, because it is sanctified. So eat what's set before you.